This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, the Holy Father continues to preach about St. Joseph. We're no longer in the year of St. Joseph, but he's mm-hmm. still talking about the importance of St. Joseph, something that we always remember here on this show, to go to Joseph on Wednesdays. What was the main focus of the Holy Father's Wednesday audience this morning?
Sure, that's right, to go to Joseph. And today, the Holy Father focused on the dreams of St. Joseph that are spoken about in Scripture and how important those dreams were in the discernment of St. Joseph to understand his mission. So today, the Pope called St. Joseph a dreamer who was able to discern God's voice and to act upon it. And the Pope noted that in the Bible, dreams were considered a means by which God revealed himself and which God spoke to people. However, the Pope also warned that it's easy to have other voices out there that are distracting, for example, of the voice of fear or the voice of the evil one who wants to deceive and confuse. So the Pope said it's necessary to cultivate discernment, and it's discernment that allows a person to authentically recognize the voice of God amongst all of those competing voices. So today, Pope Francis reflected on each of the four dreams of St. Joseph that we hear about in the Gospels, beginning with the appearance of the angel in a dream to Joseph, who then helped him determine what to do when he learned of Mary's pregnancy. And the Pope said that, like Joseph, life often puts people in situations they don't understand, situations that don't seem to have a solution. But the key is to pray in those moments and allow the Lord to show the right course of action. And praying in these times also gives courage, like is seen in with Joseph's second dream when he's warned that the life of the child Jesus is in danger. And once again, Joseph obeys God's voice. He flees with Jesus and Mary to Egypt. And then in the third dream, he learned that those who sought the life of Jesus had died. And in the fourth dream, he understood that he was meant to settle in Nazareth. So the Pope said that these examples show how uncertainty is indeed a part of life, but how critical it is to pray about any uncertainties in life, because God will guide one through uncertain times, just like he did Joseph. So today, the Pope asked for prayer from the faithful, but especially for those who no longer hope, who no longer pray. He pointed specifically to parents who are facing difficulties with their children. And he said to parents who have any kind of difficulties, which is basically every parent, he said not to be frightened. He said, to think about how St. Joseph himself solved the problems he faced and to ask for his help. And then, as he's been doing throughout this entire catechesis on St. Joseph, John, Pope Francis ended in prayer today, which we can pray together now.
Absolutely.
Let us pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
St. Joseph, man who dreams, teach us to recover the spiritual life as the inner place where God manifests himself and saves us. Remove from us the thought that praying is useless. Help each one of us to correspond to what the Lord shows us. May our reasoning be illuminated by the light of the Spirit, our hearts encouraged by his strength, and our fears saved by his mercy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. When I think of the Holy Father and St. Joseph, I can't help but think of that beautiful statue of St. Joseph sleeping that the Holy Father yes. has talked about in the past, where he writes his prayer petition on a little piece of paper and sticks it under the statue so that St. Joseph can sleep on it. Very much connected to this morning's message.
Yes. Well, it's just a reminder, as you said, to go to Joseph. That is what Scripture has called us to do. And we are so blessed to have a man of all men to be able to guide and direct us and to remember today, as Pope Francis told us, that prayer is connected to charity and to love of neighbor. And so it's not only a beautiful gift, it's a responsibility we have to those around us.
And today, the Holy Father once again has reminded us about the importance of this International Day of Prayer for Peace in Ukraine that he called last Sunday during the Angelus, and once again talked about at the end of the audience today. Can you talk about what the mood was, his message? Because this obviously is a very important issue. We just spoke to a Byzantine Catholic priest here from the Chicago area who gave a heartfelt message to please continue to invoke the Mother of God for peace in this very dangerous situation in Ukraine.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The mood was very somber today as the Pope reminded all that today has been called as an International Day of Prayer for Peace, specifically with the Pope expressing his concern over the increasing tensions that are threatening peace and security in Ukraine and in the rest of Europe. And so, sure enough, at the conclusion, as you mentioned, of the audience today, Pope Francis asked the faithful to pray, especially for peace in Ukraine throughout this entire day. Now, he prayed that world leaders would work toward peace, despite the fact that these political tensions are indeed rising between Russia and Ukraine. And he prayed that all of the prayers from throughout the world today, from Christians and people of goodwill, that these prayers would touch the minds and the hearts of all world leaders so that dialogue can prevail and the common good will be placed ahead of partisan interests. And the Pope asked the Lord to grant that the country may grow in the spirit of brotherhood and that all hurts and fears and divisions would be overcome. And to remember that it is the prayers of all of the faithful throughout the world, of the sons and daughters of the one Father, that makes everyone brothers and sisters, and that together, those prayers rise up in pleading for reconciliation and for concord. And also, the nuncio of the Vatican to Ukraine mentioned that since 2014, which was the year that the conflict began, the Greek Catholic churches and also the Latin Rite Catholic churches in the Ukraine during all liturgies have been praying for peace specifically. And so the nuncio went on to say how very important today is to have this these prayers that are being lifted up that will not only, of course, be lifted to God himself, but will also, for all those who are praying, it will lift hearts. It also expresses a closeness and a solidarity of brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. And he mentioned as well just how good this feeling of not being forgotten is for the people of Ukraine, John.
And here at Relevant Radio, we are reminding our listeners to unite ourselves in prayer specifically for peace in Ukraine, particularly this afternoon during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, during the Drew Mariani Show in the 3 o'clock hour, the Hour of Mercy, and then tonight with Father Rocky on the Family Rosary across America. We know that prayer is powerful, so we need to continue to follow the Holy Father's lead, Ashley.
Exactly. And I can't help think, too, of Christ's words reminding us that some of these things require both prayer and fasting, and the power that we have through the sacrifices that we make to also create very, very powerful prayers that will touch the ears of the Lord.
Coming up later this week, we're going to be celebrating the feast of the great theologian and doctor of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas. How is this feast celebrated in Roma?
Well, you know, John, it's interesting because since St. Thomas Aquinas is entombed in Toulouse, France, at the Church of the Jacobins there, not many people remember about his life in Italy, even though, of course, he is Italian. And he lived at one point right here in Bella Roma. He lived at the Church of Santa Sabina. Now, many visitors to Rome may remember this beautiful Church of Santa Sabina, which is, it's very near to the Circus Maximus. It's high on the Aventine Hill. And it was completed all the way back in 432 AD. So one of the oldest extant basilicas that we have here. And many people go especially to visit this church because of the wooden carved doors. These are 5th century doors that actually have a cycle of Christian scenes. It's some of the earliest to survive. So indeed, St. Thomas Aquinas lived there at Santa Sabina at one point. And you can go in and make a special appointment, which we have done, to see the interior cells of that Dominican convent that are there, because of course he was indeed of the Order of Preachers of the Dominicans. And there inside you can see the cell of Saint Dominic himself. And although it's been converted to a chapel now, but you can also visit the original dining room and imagine that this is the very one in which St. Thomas Aquinas would have dined when he lived in Rome. So this is a very important place that on his feast day, folks from throughout Rome will go and visit. Now, it's really interesting because we celebrate his feast day, as you mentioned, John, on the 28th of January. But it's not actually the date of his death. He died on the 7th of March in 1274. And in the church, usually we celebrate a saint's feast day on their death day as well. But in this case, it was a little bit different because after he was made a saint in 1323, his remains were later translated from where he died. Now, he died not far from Rome in a place called Fossa Nova. And the remains were translated then to Toulouse on the 28th of January. So on this day in 1369, so we're actually celebrating the Feast of the Translation. And the reason is because typically March 7th, the date of his death, falls in Lent. And so his feast, because he's such an important saint in the church, his feast would be superseded by Lent. They didn't want that to happen. So today is the Feast of the Translation of his remains. So there in Fossa Nova, in the Cistercian Abbey, where he died, there's also special celebrations that are happening. Now, he was actually on his way to the Second Council of Lyon. He was riding a donkey along the Appian Way when he struck his head on the branch of a tree and became unwell, stopped at the Abbey of Monte Cassino to convalesce for a while, continued on the journey, and stopped in Fossa Nova to continue to try to get well, and it was there that he died. And those are the two special places where people are going to be visiting on the 28th of January to remember the great St. Thomas Aquinas, John.
Great insights that only you, Ashley, yeah, could bring to the show. Real quickly, our final minute, what's going on in Italy in terms of coffee? I understand that coffee is being considered to be part of Italy's heritage.
Yes, you know what? It's more than just a simple drink around here. Italians have made a formal bid to have coffee inserted on the UNESCO World Heritage Intangible Cultural Heritage List. So this is very exciting because the Italians say that it's an integral ritual of the country. It's part of their national identity. It's the way they express their socialness, and it distinguished Italians in the whole world. You'll see it even in Italian literature. So what has happened is that this formal bid has now been made to UNESCO. They're also hoping that coffee culture returns strong soon because the restrictions of the Super Green Pass, especially the COVID-19 restrictions, have very much dampened coffee culture around here. So we'll know a little later in the year if this bid from Italy has been accepted by the National UNESCO Committee to make coffee part of Italy's intangible cultural heritage.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.